Hey everybody, it's Ben from Sports Meets Beer. Just wanted to do a quick intro for this episode. This is episode 82. This is a live recording inside of a undisclosed location with a friend of the show, Mr. Kyle Castillo, who brought some beers back from Iowa for us to try. So buckle up, take a listen. We got about five beers that are coming up. If you get a chance, check us out on all of our social media. That would be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all Sports Meets Beer. Also, you can reach us at sportsmeatsbeer@gmail.com. That's M-E-A-T-S, like the protein, sportsmeatsbeer@gmail.com. Hey, everybody, this is Ben from Sports Meets Beer. Brad is home icing his balls after getting a procedure done, so I had to jump on the grenade and go through this rigorous tasting with some beers brought back from Iowa from our friend of the show, friend of yours, friend of mine, Mr. Pickles, Kyle Castillo.
Hey, everybody. I'm glad to be here. Glad we can finally get these drink these beers.
Right, you were excited to bring these back a couple weeks ago, and so luckily they haven't. You've been keeping them cold. You've been keeping them fresh, so we're going to break into these bad boys now.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you tell me about what you feel about, like, the Midwest beer scene.
So, the Midwest beer scene, well, first of all, the Midwest for me has just been Iowa. Haven't traveled anywhere within there. But so it's just very, it's very different than West Coast, very different than some of the East Coast beers. Out there, the lagers and pilsners are definitely very, very prominent. The lighter style beers, where IPAs generally kind of rule, where on each one of the coasts, there's these. So the first one we're trying is the Iowa Pale Ale. This is Millstream Brewing Company. It's actually one of the oldest breweries in Iowa. In fact, I believe it is the oldest brewery.
So it's been going for 2 years? Kidding. I can't read the percentage on this thing. Holy moly. Is there a law in Iowa that you have to use really small font and dark ink? Jesus. It's like a 7%? No, it can't be right. Anyways, we'll look it up later. We'll do some fact check. So this thing is super malty, super, super bready in the nose. For a pale ale, I'm surprised.
So when I picked all these beers out, I was actually at a store called Hy-Vee, which is kind of like a Safeway, kind of like a Total Wine, like a BevMo. And in fact, every one of these buyers that I actually talked to when I was out there, they pride themselves on their single selection. They have a lot of fun with their single selection. That's like their bread and butter. They just have just such a kick-ass time.
So it's probably like a lot like the stores here that you build your own six-pack, just exactly. Try things out. And to me, that's where your label is going to sell you
exactly.
Before anything else.
Yeah.
I
asked the guy, and I said, hey, you know what? I'm bringing beer back for a podcast show for some friends. You know, let me show me where it's at. I want some Iowa staples, some stuff that's really going to be the name brand of Iowa. I want to bring Iowa back in a glass, I guess I could say.
Iowa to California. How do I do it? How do I fit Iowa into a suitcase? Illegally.
Yes. Yeah, scary, actually. I didn't know if these bottles were going to make it sometimes. I was afraid I was going to have broken glass all over right. My clothes.
Nice. Well, yeah, this is interesting. You know, if we go through our AATMF for this pale ale, for this unfiltered pale ale, so that's interesting. It already adds, it's going to add a different body and viscosity to the beer. I've not met a hazy beer that I love. But at the same time, this is really interesting. That the color on this thing, it's dark. It's really dark. It almost looks like a Belgian white. It's one of those things that these guys right fucking next to us, of course, as we record. We're in a bar that fits, 100 people. There's 25
right
bars, 25 seats at the bar, and they sit right fucking next to us. Anyway, yes, we get bready in the nose. You get it's a hazy, or unfiltered rather.
Yeah, it's almost like
super malt forward. But it's a really, really crisp cereal malt, right? Yes,
so we'll get into some of the IPAs in just a couple of them. But from my experience of drinking some of these, it's just definitely hops aren't the most prominent thing.
Do you think that's more of a because of they can't? I mean, obviously people are getting hops from all the Pac Northwest, so it's not so an issue of getting it there. I think it's just a combination of people are buttoned up in the winter. They don't really go out and do anything, and so they want their beers to not be as super strong. They want to have a few beers. They're gonna have a few beers. They're gonna have high alcohol. They're gonna have beers that last and are strong, but not too strong and not too bitter. What do you think? Yeah. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a lot of the warmth, bringing the blanket, as I would like to say.
Ooh, bringing the blanket. I like that. Well, I bet you this is, this to me is something that people, there's also a lot of cellars and garages that are in down, lower floors.
Yes, there's tornadoes.
Yeah, so they have downstairs. This is the thing where you're going to have a couple of these downstairs in your, man cave or the rumpus room, whatever you want to call it.
In fact, there was one time I actually thought a tornado was coming.
We're sitting
on a rooftop bar, and I'm like, we got to go. Time to go. But it was just
so. How was the Californian guy the voice of reason in this one, or was everyone already out to get the fuck out of there?
No, everyone was just calm and just sitting on top of the bar, just sitting there, just calm as could be. And I'm the one freaking out, going, "Okay, it's look at that cloud." But it ended up just being a rain cloud.
Well, no worse for the wear. What are you gonna do?
I mean, there was a tornado 2 weeks beforehand.
That's all that's in your head is that fucking tornado warning.
Absolutely. And all I was told was find the nearest mattress and nearest tub and pull it over. And I was in a bar, so I didn't have access to either one of them.
Why the mattress on the tub?
I believe it is to shield you from debris.
So the tub is because it's heavy.
Yep.
Mattress from glass breaking on top. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I like it.
Cool.
All right, we're going to clean a lot of this stuff up and edit, too. I'll be able to dump some of this stuff out. Note to self, no, not such a big pour next time. We have 8 of these.
8 of these. So the next one we got.
Do you have another bottle of that by chance?
I do not have another bottle of this.
Reason I ask, because I'm going to ask Sam to send me one.
Okay.
The reason that's important is because Ruthie Lou is the name of a friend of ours, friend of the show, Chris Lands. That's their first daughter who passed away shortly after she was born. But that's a good, I think this would be a really cute thing to send to them. So I'm going to see if I can get some of that. Whether the beer is good or not, it's a different story. But
yeah, that's cool.
All right. Tell me about Exile Brewing.
So Exile,
the label, by the way, is fucking awesome.
So Exile is like the new up-and-comer. Like, they're the ones taking Iowa by storm. They are just jamming. Everywhere you look, there's Exile. They do not... I just need a little...
I'm with you.
They're just very, very popular out there. Everywhere you go, they have a couple handles. They have...
Are all packages. their labels, all their handles look like that?
Not necessarily their handles. Their handles are just say Exile, and they have like a little sticker on there to kind of explain what the beer is. But yeah, all their labels do look like that.
So if you could imagine the video game Tapper, I don't even know, remember that old stand-up video game?
Yeah.
If Tapper grew up a little bit and went from a 64-bit to or 32-bit to a 64-bit, that's what this label looks like. It's like the barmaid from Tapper.
No kidding.
The video game. Yeah, it's awesome. I think it's so cool. She's balancing a beer on her breasts. That never happened in the video game, but I wish it did.
So, again, they are very... the beers are just very... They're light.
Is there a big... And you're limited time there. Is there a big German... influence in Iowa?
Yes, there is. Actually, it's funny that you say that because a lot of their culinary aspect is German.
Really?
Say is their most important thing would be a pork tenderloin sandwich. Which,
right.
Going into it, I didn't really think a whole lot much, but once I had a pork tenderloin sandwich, it was...
It's over.
It was life-changing.
Yeah, they're good.
I mean, it's fried pork. And
well, it's also it's usually pounded out thinly.
Yeah.
You know, it's a real thin cutlet. That's, you know, it's usually like a panko or a decent breadcrumb on there, and then fried, and it's just awesome.
Very, very much awesome.
It's got good crunch. It's got good soft. Exactly. But tons of flavor in the pork. Usually, you know, you're going to find that, you know, variations of sauces. But if you go traditional German, you're going to do, like, a lot of vinegar-based, kraut-based, things like that, where you're going to get a lot of that flavor. The pork is going to complement your crudité. Brad's going to just freak out about all my... He's like, you could have said this, you idiot. You're not the food guy. I am.
Well, with the pork tenderloin, we went to the place that holds the number one pork tenderloin in Iowa.
Okay.
I believe it was called Nick's Tenderloin, or Nick's...
You had a slice of Nick's Tenderloin?
Nick's Tenderloin, yes, yes. In between two pieces of bread. But it's very simple. It's a very simple sandwich. You know, they had lettuce, tomato, onion, and three pickles. Yes, three pickles is important in Iowa. If it doesn't have approximately three pickles, you kind of get ridiculed.
Okay.
Yeah. So
if you're gonna make a sandwich in fucking Iowa, you better bring your pickle stack.
They have a competition every year, best tenderloin, and Nick's won the last couple times. So.
Nice. Well, this beer, you know, going back to the beer, I mean, this is like what reminds me of, like, you can yell, it's fine. This reminds me a lot of, like, this is like a first, like a craft version of a cereal, like an adjunct lager, right? Mm-hmm. So this is like your crafty version of this. Like, you know, this tastes a lot like, I was just going to say, it tastes like a Miller Lite or a Coors Lite or things like that. This tastes a lot like Miller High Life or a Coors Banquet. It's a little cleaner version of it. It's not as heavy. It's not as malty. It is really crisp. It is really light. It is a total slammer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this thing is impressive. And again, they have this 5.2%. So again, this is going to be, oh my God, you're going to drink this thing. This beer goes down all day.
Yes. Yes,
I can envision that pork tenderloin right now.
So in regards to the kind of the beer world that's out there in specifically in Iowa, is Busch Light is the number one beer.
God, just when I'm starting to like Iowa. God, they don't know the fucking thing, do they?
Yeah, 26% of all beer consumed in Iowa is Busch Light.
That is, that's a staggering, horrible number.
Yeah, it's...
Kyle, I fucking knew this would happen. As soon as you told me this bar was going to be empty, now there's fucking people coming in by the droves. Anyway, so let's go AATMF. Like I mentioned, adjunct lager, so it's going to be really light, really crisp. I mean, it just looks nice and clear. It's got a nice pale straw-like color. You know, you're really getting those cereal grains. You know, sweet malt. It almost smells like a Kolsch.
Mm-hmm.
But you're getting a really, really nice sweetness out of the nose. The taste is unbelievable. Really, really light. There's little to no flavor in a good way, meaning that you get a lot of the malt flavor. There's zero hop flavor at all. But you get, like, a lot of that maltiness, that crispness, the cerealness. This is totally like a Miller High Life. This is like a Miller High Life, and I think it's a great beer. This is like a total Miller High Life.
I really like how you brought it to Kolsch. To me, a Kolsch or a Pilsner is kind of what is going to define a brewery.
Right.
Just because of how difficult...
You can't hide behind a Kolsch, ever.
And a Kolsch, I could definitely see where this Kolsch is and the taste profile of it, so... I completely agree with the Kolsch.
I think this is amazing. This is a really good beer. This is something I would drink all the time. Like, this would be your go-to beer.
Yeah.
In the house.
They make a lot of other different styles. But in looking to see what exactly they made, IPAs were not their specialty. IPAs, they had a rotating IPA six-pack, and that was it. That was kind of more their seasonal aspect. But the other stuff was light. Nothing really kind of out of the norm, just very much light.
Yeah.
Pale ales, lagers. I believe this... I don't remember what this one was. Oh, lager, yeah.
Cold lager.
Yeah, and this was recommended by the manager of the store, that this is their flagship. This is their, what he would hang their hat on of what Exile
totally,
is.
Yeah, I am totally into it. Totally would drink it again. That's a great beer from Exile, so that's awesome.
All right.
There you go. Kvistoff?
No.
Don't break your wedding ring.
It doesn't break.
Right. Says someone until they break it.
So this brewery here is.
Oh, people are the best. All right.
So this one here, this is Peace Tree Brewing Company. They are actually one of the breweries that are distributed by the distributor with Lagunitas. So they recommended this brewery. They said that this
High Plains,
is
what's the name of the distributor?
This one was Iowa Beverage.
Makes sense.
Out of Des Moines.
Okay.
So they recommended this. This is,
I believe,
actually,
it's pronounced Des Moines.
Actually, I was corrected multiple times. It is just Des Moines.
Not Des Moines.
There's no S. No. The S doesn't exist. Believe
three,
it or not.
Three pickles and no S. Fuck you. That's how it goes. Des Moines.
So this is a local brewery. I believe they were out of the Knoxville area. Yeah, these guys are out of the Knoxville area, so they were actually at the Knoxville Nationals when we were there to watch the races.
So yeah, tell me more about what you did other than harassing people. That is an amazing pour.
Absolutely, it's supposed to be vigorous.
So
vigorous is good.
Well, you got a blonde ale, the blonde fat ale next. I go through. Sorry.
So. Well, we went to Iowa so that we could sell beer. But it also just so happened to be the same week that the Knoxville Nationals were in town. Sprint car racing, World of Outlaws. This is basically the Super Bowl of sprint cars, Super Bowl of the 410 sprints. So it was an unbelievable sight to see.
It was a delight for you.
Yeah.
Because I would go and check it out and talk to people, but I don't know if I'd be like, oh, yeah, Super Bowl of sports. I mean,
it was awesome. I mean, I've been around racing for a long time, and seeing a track like the way that they prepared this track, it was just like glass.
Nice.
You know, you see a lot of ruts, you see a lot of beating and banging, but this was just—it was all driver skill. It was awesome.
Nice.
So, anyways, yes. So, Peace Tree Brewing—they're out of Knoxville. This was the only craft brewery that was in Knoxville. At the time of the races. Other than that, you drank Busch Light, so which I hate to say, I did have one.
You gotta have one.
You gotta see what it was like, only because
it's just like anal sex, you gotta try it once.
I got tired of drinking alcohol or hard booze. Hard booze was rough.
Yeah. So with it, like, so in a racetrack you were at, so obviously Busch Light's there, probably Busch Ice, I imagine too, Busch Premium, Busch everything.
Michelob Ultra, Bud Heavy, Bud Light, and Busch Light.
Okay. So I'm thinking with something like that, do these kind of beers make it into the racetrack? Do they make it places? Or does Budweiser pretty much control that aspect?
Budweiser pretty much controls. You know, they got the contract for the venue. It just so happened that a local brewery is local, so they're going to get in into the track.
Oh, so they did. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so this is a what's called a blonde fat ale. You know, I'm going through the AATM map. I'm looking. I snuck a little sip, and there's that Belgian backbone to this thing, and it's really, really interesting. So I mean, this is really light in color. This is another straw-like blonde, right? That's what you look for in that beer. Nice bright white head, which is really cool. You get that sweetness, like we mentioned, that you can tell a little bit of that Belgian funk in there, but not a lot, enough just to have that sweetness and that flavor. But this is,
I like their bottles. Their bottles to me are kind of their design, their artwork.
Well, it's a stubby bottle, and that grabs your eye. The artwork's a little crazy on the front, but in a good way. But this beer, diving into it, you know, you get that blonde note right away. And then it goes right into, you get those Belgian yeast out of it. And I honestly don't know if it's a, I feel like it's too much.
There's a sweetness at the back end that keeps it up there.
Well, it's not even, I mean, the sweetness is there, but I think the Belgian yeast is just too strong in this one. For such a light beer, a light looking beer, a light aroma beer, and then I did the first taste was really light, and then all of a sudden it just comes fucking crashing into that Belgian. That Belgian yeast just hits my teeth, hits the palate, and it's just not quite what I'm looking for. This one might be good after like a second one, right? A second beer, so I'm used to the flavor, but it just, even that second sip I just took, it's still pretty abrupt and pretty. It's not very well balanced, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. And Belgians need to be really balanced because they're very, very strong and they're very, very, you know, to some offensive. So, I mean, if you love Belgians, then it's up for your alley. And I do like Belgians, but this is too strong of a Belgian for me. And it's not strong alcohol, it's strong Belgian yeast flavor. Yeah. How about you? What do you think?
So it's kind of hard for me. I've had some bad experience with Belgian yeast in my previous homebrewer days.
Like you went on a date and she wouldn't call you back?
Yes, her. some bad homebrewing.
That tall blonde from Belgium.
some bad homebrewing experience with Belgian yeast that kind of really tainted my palate.
Or did that blonde palate your taint?
I like that they stay away from my taint. That would, yeah.
I disagree. The taint's where it's at. Belgian or not. Well, so I don't, you know, this one is tough for me. I have a hard time finishing my sample, let alone the bottle. I just think it's too mismatched, not well aligned. It's just not balanced enough.
Yeah, I agree.
But you know, I'm sure they make other good things. I think they need to at least like address the. I mean, maybe that's all they do with Belgians, right? Is that the thing? Is that they're both the style blonde. Yeah, I mean it's good. It's just not what I'm in the mood for. Maybe right now, you know, maybe that's under different circumstances, a little food or something like that, something to offset that Belgian yeast strain. But just not feeling it today.
Not today. I completely agree. Cool. We got to
sit. Better finish it.
I was hoping.
Well, now you have to. I finished mine. You finish yours, fucker. Sports Meets Beer podcast is brought to you by Advanced Auto Glass and Detail. Advanced Auto Glass and Detail is committed to providing you with the highest quality premium glass products and a professional installation by certified technicians. They are experienced in every aspect of glass replacement or repair, offering factory replacement or a premium aftermarket upgrade. They even deal with those annoying windshield rock chips that show up out of nowhere. They offer free local mobile service and offer a full warranty on all workmanship for as long as you own your vehicle. And across the street at Advanced Detail, they specialize in cars, trucks, vans, RVs, boats, show cars, trailers, and more. They are a full-service auto detailing shop, offering exterior wash, polish and wax, interior vacuum, shampoo, trim detail, and even smoke and odor removal. Water spot and scratch removal, paintless dent repair, it's all available at Advanced Auto Glass and Detail. Advanced Auto Glass, look for the purple building at 2460 Santa Rosa Avenue. And right across the street is Advanced Auto Detail at 2549 Santa Rosa Avenue. Advanced Auto Glass, 707-526-5700. Advanced Auto Detail, 707-526-2200. Let Advanced Auto Glass and Detail take care of all of your automotive needs.
So this is from Single Seed Brewing Company. I've actually never had their beer before. This is just highly recommended from my source at this store, and he said, if you're going to...
Well, it's strong because, you know, there's no IPAs to be had of in Iowa, so this is a good start.
Yeah, so he said, if you're going to have an IPA, this needs to be one of them that you grab. So, so it's got its... What I like, again, is the... it's got its logos on the side, so 67 IBUs and 6.7%. Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, the other part too is it does have the independent craft brewer moniker, which to me already shows that like you're an elitist. I don't necessarily dig that. I don't like that thing, but obviously it comes from who we work for and what we do. We have a little bitter taste in our mouth. I think that's that sticker, that logo, that badge promotes putting down of larger craft beers just because they're larger craft beers.
We could have a whole nother like podcast day.
Oh, totally.
Just
can.
Off of that.
Right.
First thing first, you have a bottle on a can, dude. You don't bottle. Why is your bottle upside down?
You need to update that shit. Just put it in a fucking tank. So, anyways, back to reality. The reason that I'm already drawn to this can, it wasn't that an Olympic logo they're using? The victory dance? It looks like something from the Olympics.
That I don't know. That would be...
I want to say that there's like an Olympic stick figure, man. All right, well, this IPA is... going through the AATMF quickly, but still swiftly.
It's super clear.
Super clear. Super light in color. I'm shocked to know that this is 6.7, but it looks like a beer that's going to be 4.5.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely very, very light. Which some of this light just means it doesn't
you
have
do
a whole
get...
lot other than just a straight pale malts or, you know,
right.
Really light.
Yeah, the nose in this thing is definitely hoppy. You do get that note. It smells more like a West Coast beer. Once you sip it and once you try it, though, it doesn't have the same viscosity and bitterness that a West Coast beer, IPA has. It's just one of those things where it just, you know, it kind of dies quickly on the palate. But it's also, too, an area in Iowa that isn't known for IPAs isn't going to come out with a fucking really big IPA. This to me is like a really good, this is like a session IPA.
Yeah.
Even though it's 6.7, this is like the bitterness and everything else. It's really, really light in color. It's really, really light in flavor. It's just, it's an easy, approachable IPA. There's not much else to it.
It's kind of very basic.
It's kind of forgettable.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm sure it does really well. This is a great... It's a great beer. You know, quite honestly, I'd rather have them dial it down to like 5.5 or 5.7 and have this be like a really, really good slammable IPA versus something 6.7 that doesn't have much flavor, much backbone to it, right?
Right.
I mean, it's good. It's not great.
Good, not great. So the next one is actually, I saved it for last for a reason. This is actually one of the most popular IPAs out of all of Iowa. Very much so in the Des Moines area, which, yes, it is Des Moines and not Des Moines. The S's are very silent. I have gotten a little bit of backlash as the S's do not carry over. So it is Des Moines IPA, so it does get a lot of pull just from that fact that it says Des Moines on it. So very, you know, that local aspect is still true within the Iowa area. And I'm trying to do a better pour, but didn't.
Still rigorous.
So,
how did you stumble? This is the recommendation.
No, this was this is on tap everywhere you go in the state of Iowa, especially Des Moines, since it, you know, being Des Moines IPA, it's on tap everywhere you go. Every bar you go to, they have this on tap, and you know, I don't know. Let's see, it's 6.9%. The can is great. I like the graphics on the can. Nice bright blue. And definitely, it's gonna catch your eye kind of anywhere you go. So.
For sure.
So when I
you know, we go through the AATMF again. We have another really, really you know, super clear, you know, little to no haze at all in this thing. It's just bright, super bright. The head is really, really thick. Nice bright white color, but again, it's kind of the same. I feel like a lot of the beers we've tried have the same, consistency where they're filtered well. They're filtered, and it's a bright color beer. And it's like I said, there's not much to the beer besides, the pale malt. And there's going to be a lot of dry hopping going on this one, right? Is my guess. You go through and you get tons of hops in the nose, but not like overwhelmingly. It seems like this is a starter for California, but for the most part, it's you can still tell it's there. It's not just, you know, opposed to the other four beers we had that have cereal grain or cereal, you know, just the
overall, like, overall sweetness.
Does it taste like it has a little bit of corn in all of it? I mean, it is Iowa, but...
I can, yeah. Well, I mean, it feels like a setup, but yes.
Fun fact about Iowa is corn is not abundant on menus.
Why is that?
I don't know. They use a lot of the corn for like, fuel...
Well, it's a lot of other things.
A lot of farm fuel, right?
Tractor fuel, things like that. But it's also for a lot of feed.
Feed, yes.
That goes into a lot of dog. Corn is like one of the primary ingredients in shitty dog food.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where a lot of that gets sent out.
Yeah, it's it's just not on, in a lot of the menus that we saw, there's just not a lot of corn on there.
I'm sure they're over it. I guarantee in Idaho, you don't have fucking potatoes everywhere.
Well, I mean, I don't, they're really proud of their potatoes that they...
Right.
That they cook and...
Well, Des Moines doesn't even have all their letters pronounced, so whatever. Well, it's interesting. I mean, it's good. I think it's a good beer. I think this is... I would still go back and say that the Exile is my favorite by far, but everything else has been interesting. It's nice to know, you know, here's the thing. As you get out of California... You're basically looking at malt forward, light hop, just a really good, especially with that German influence that we were mentioning earlier. You're going to get a lot of the, you know, those that German purity law. You know, you're talking about the Reisenbut. It's one of those things where you keep going over, and it's a lot of that culture. Is definitely into the beer. They are talking about, you know, it's to see a hazy come out of Iowa is, to me, is kind of crazy anyway, but it's good. I think they're all good beers. I think they have their place. Some I love more than others, but at the end of the day, this is pretty good. I still think the Exile is my favorite out of all of them, though.
Yeah. It's definitely a good beer, especially for beer that I haven't had. I was very, very, very in touch with it. I really liked it. You know, I'm a big fan of Kolsch's and lagers, like I said before, and Pilsners, I feel like. You know, as you said, you can't hide behind any of those. You know, you can always mask it with some more alcohol or some more hops. And
Well, you can dry hop anything to make it taste right. You know, exactly. That's the thing. That's the problem with most of the West Coast beers. And I can see why people want to have a different approach, because there's a lot of West Coast beers that are bad. There's bad beer here. I mean, not every single brewery makes great beer.
Right.
At the end of the day, you can't hide behind that. And if you dry hop something, it doesn't fix it. It doesn't make it you can change the aroma. You can change the bittering hops and all those things. But it doesn't always mean it's good.
Yeah.
That's the other part, too, is that just because it's local doesn't mean it's good.
Right.
People have a lot of hard time with that.
Consistency to me has always been a big thing. Like, if you can consistently make something, and I mean that goes as far as the lines of like cooking and kind of anything that you do, very much consistency is key.
Well, one of the things I noticed that, you know, all the cans you brought, they aren't subject to like the mobile canning line, right? So they actually make their own cans. That's a big step. That's a big thing. And I think California is a little different, but this is these aren't stickered. Cans. These are actual legitimately made cans.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's a big nod to them as far as what they're doing, but also I'm sure their production cost, you know, is next to nothing out in Iowa compared to California.
Yeah.
So that they have the ability to do that, but it's cool. I wonder how if you dipped a California brewer out in the middle of nowhere or Iowa or, you know, Idaho or whatever we talked about, and just let them build a West Coast IPA, and how would people would take it. I guarantee it wouldn't go over well, but at the same time, it's one of those things that it's still interesting to hear about and try.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like you said, with it being a lot of malt forward beers, not having a whole lot of very hop forward beers. But all in all,
if you hate malts, don't move to the Midwest.
Yeah.
Right, that's about it. Kyle, I really appreciate you bringing these beers. Thankfully, I kind of feel glad that Brad didn't try any. I get to rub it in his nose now that I got to go through this whole thing. But I know you gave a couple for us for our later shows. I'll bring that to Brad so he can get something besides just icing his balls.
Thank you very much.
We miss you, buddy.
For allowing me to bring these beers here.
Yeah, man.
They've been sitting in my fridge wanting to be had. I was like, no.
No. stout.
No, gonna say strong, but no. Nice. Thank you very much, and until next time.
All right, beautiful Sports Beats Beer Podcast. Big thanks to our sponsor again, Advanced Auto Glass and Detail. Check us out on all of our socials. That would be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Sports Meets Beer, M-E-A-T-S, like the protein, sportsmeetsbeer@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Again, big thanks to Kyle for bringing those beers. Cheers.